From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest this week is Torin Goodnight. He's been steadily tweaking his sound for the last 10 years, first coming up in the Bay Area's fertile psytrance scene, but more recently blending organic and inorganic tones and lots of low-end as Bird of Prey, putting out three EPs in the last couple of years, including 2010's beautiful and brooding Dreamcatcher. Let's get to the interview. Let's unpack your musical background. Tell me, what kind of music were you listening to as a kid?
I would say when I first started listening to music that I chose for myself, the first time I heard Nine Inch Nails was probably the time that I knew that I wanted to be dealing with electronic music. I was in marching band at the time playing drums. I was probably listening to like Guns N' Roses and something like that. And then I heard Nine Inch Nails and it pretty much just derailed the entire thing. And I'm to a point still on that trip. That led to industrial, people like Skinny Puppy. I was always drawn to artificial textures, and I think that went for a very long time up until fairly recently when I've burnt myself out on completely synthetic textures and have kind of reached into more acoustic, natural tones mixed with synthetic textures.
When did you start to create it yourself? When did you decide, okay, I know this music inside and out now, I could maybe put something like this together?
I think what originally drew me to industrial was not necessarily, I mean, I was definitely angry for a while there in my life and that kind of suited me, but I was more drawn to it by sequencing and the structure of it. I was still kind of in regular song format, but, you know, going to my first parties, that kind of started melting my heart a bit. As I became a little bit happier of a person, and as I had been listening to industrial long enough, I just got so tired of hearing distorted vocals with topics that I was no longer relating to. I let go of having regular song formats, you know, or band type situations and vocals in general. Well, the first time I heard Crystal Method's Vegas, I originally didn't like it much because it didn't have like some sort of singing element for me to like latch onto. After going to parties and listening to, you know, Cybertrance and all that stuff, I just remember getting to a point where I actually preferred just the electronic factor. I wanted a more spiritually inclined sound, let go of all the anger, that kind of stuff.
And your sound at first, could that be characterized as psytrance?
No, when I first started, I was just sitting in my bedroom with a 4-track and like a pretty cheap Yamaha keyboard doing the best I could. And it honestly just came out with whatever I, you know, could make at the time. The moment that I decided to do this for really real was when I was 18 after my dad died. Like, I had just graduated from high school and my dad passed away and I was able to kind of just make this choice in my life. You know, I had nothing else pulling me. And in fact, this was like the main thing. And I just had like this situation in my life open up to where I actually had the opportunity to just dedicate myself to this. And that didn't mean I was going to make good sounding music for years, but I got a computer, I got some synthesizer and I started learning. And I pretty much started making psytrance because I was all about psytrance up until very, you know, the last couple of years when I just wanted more variation and it was an uphill battle creating for me. Something that was never flowing, but I wanted it so bad, and I learned most of my techniques making psytrance, learning from psytrance producers, and then just coming across some half-tempoed I had always been making like alternate style music on the side, but I thought of it more in some ways. I thought I was being more honest with myself, and I thought at some point I'll have the courage to take this route and make my own music, but right now I feel like I need to make psytrance. And then just branched off and started hybridizing it.
I want to get into your sound sort of shifting over the years, but at first, who were those producers that you were looking to? Were there a particular few that you were just trying to emulate when you were, you know, just trying to figure out, what you were doing and what you could do with the equipment you had?
Well, I liked a lot of the old ones. As far as contemporaries in age and in like how I really felt, I think the closest person that ever made what I felt like I should have been making was Chromatone, my friend Lawrence Hoffman. Chromatone and Random, Ross Dubois, both of them were making what I felt to be containing all of the elements that I wanted, and they considered it to be maximal music. I always wanted like a sound coming out of every little hole, and I felt like these people did it in an intelligent, progressive way that was both dark and bright in ways, and not necessarily focused on one or the other, but making this middle ground of penetrating music that had melodic motifs that were done smart, so it wasn't cheesy, but an element of just shred that added just the texture and the kind of grit that I wanted from my industrial days, I think. And both of those people became very good friends of mine. In fact, Ross Random and I pretty much co-wrote my second EP together, the Subtropic EP, which sounds pretty trancy to me. And I think the newer EP, the Dreamcatcher EP, was my response to that in trying to ground and get a little bit more earthy textures going.
Now, you were maybe deep into the psytrance scene, creating it, going out and seeing it. This is, are we talking early 2000s?
I wasn't going to a lot of parties. I got turned on to it by a friend, but I had my incubation stage of just sitting at home on acid with headphones and just kind of learned that way. I wasn't going to a lot of parties, and I started going to parties once I met a couple friends that pulled me out of my bedroom and introduced me to the community. And just a few years ago, I moved up to San Francisco from San Jose, and I met all of these people and became one of the crew. And I was doing a weekly called Synchronize at Il Parada, so I became a resident DJ of that, and I really embedded myself in the psytrance scene in San Francisco and got to learn a lot from some very smart people. I already knew what I was doing. I went to sound college from like 2002 to 2004 at Expressions in Emeryville, California, and graduated and was just pursuing my stuff by myself. But I think I had a good idea of what I wanted to see happen with my music and how to do it. But working with those two people really just solidified what I already felt like I knew and took it to a whole new level of me being able to sit and see people doing stuff further than I had been able to achieve by myself. And I think that's when I was really starting to finish songs. I made music for a long time before I was able to finish songs because it just came down to keep working on them until I had enough sounds. I always wanted music that was complex, and I just didn't know how to do that up until a certain point and fit a bunch of elements together and still have it sound good.
Kiva from Bird of Prey's EP, Dreamcatcher. When did you start shifting your sound and incorporating other genres at the time?
My girlfriend at the time, a couple years ago, she was into dubstep. I had never even heard of it. And just hanging out with her, it would be on in the background. And I remember just hearing it, and I had never really listened to much dub or reggae, and I was never into hip-hop, really. I was never into drum and bass and all that stuff, so it took me hearing a certain couple types of it that I started clicking together that it was bass sounds or mid-basses mainly, but it was the compositing of sounds was similar to how I felt I was doing psytrance sounds. And when I noticed that it was 140 BPM and psytrance is generally 145 was where I was writing it, I got the idea of going, hey, why don't I make a half tempo beat at nearly what I'm already working at? And then I have all the space, you know, then I can use different drum textures. I can use different types of snare drums, different types of basses. Bass was like a completely, you know, I was making 16th note percussive bass lines for years. And then I had to find out how to make, you know, lower end stuff. But that was 2007 or something like that. Just got curious and made one of my first songs called Paradise. You know, that was the first dubstep type thing I ever even tried. And I feel like on some ways I connected with that type of energy better in that song than I have in others, you know. I just liked the freedom that I always wanted to use bell tones and make more environment. And you can fit a lot of sounds in at a full 145 BPM, but I don't know. I guess it's just I felt like I was writing the same song over and over. And that can happen with any beat or tempo, but I don't want to cover my tracks too much. I feel like after I've done a certain amount of songs that are going for a certain vibe, then I'd like to move on, which is why I've been sticking with the EP format, because it allows me to do four tracks that all have a similar vibe, and then I move on and I make four more that sound completely different or relatively different. But I get bored, or actually I feel this invisible pressure to continually be changing. I have weird standards I set myself to that in a lot of ways drive me crazy and have made making music completely unenjoyable at times, but also allows me to think the way I do and approach my process the way that I have to keep evolving as an artist.
Dreamcatcher was an attempt by you to fuse the synthetic with the authentic. I think that was your approach to that EP.
I don't want things to sound too fake, and I don't want things to sound too real. And I'm a Pisces. I don't know if it has something to do with that, but I've definitely got some shit pulling me in different directions, which I think is why I couldn't ever create Psytrance, because it was so full on all the time that I just didn't feel that way. I love ambient, and I listen to, you know, Steve Roach and Ishk and things like this. And I've always wanted to make everything I wanted in one place. I didn't want to have two projects. I didn't want to make Psytrance and I didn't want to make downtempo. I wanted to make full on downtempo stuff that represents how I feel about music. That was kind of where the whole Bird of Prey name came from, is something that's graceful and completely deadly at the same time, you know, like powerful, beautiful, graceful. And I want elements of calm and I want elements of just complete shredding at the same time. You know, I have some songs that are more of that than others, but I feel like my goal is to create a bridge between what I love about gentle and abrasive music. Kiva, I consider to be one of my favorite. I think it's the song that I've enjoyed of mine the longest, because a lot of the time, by the time I'm finished with music, I just don't even want to hear it again. But that song I wrote almost 2 years ago. The other ones were newer, but Kiva I wrote and had given to a label to use for a compilation, and they sat on it for a year, and I ended up just asking for it back respectfully and just felt like it made more sense to put it under my own release, which I feel it has. So that's a song that I wrote some time ago that I felt I really connected, and now it's playing this role in my current career, which is really interesting, that something I wrote a long time ago, I feel like still says better than some of my other music what I'm trying to say, and has now recently come out and is being well received, feels pretty cool. But, you know, I'm always trying to recreate and capture those songs that I feel are very deliberate. I don't really like making just tracks. I want to make something that, like, conveys a part of my soul, or at least makes tangible my imagination. I feel like my want to make music is my want to make my imagination ooze over into the physical realm. And this is the best way I know how to do it.
You said your second EP was a collaboration with one of your buddies. Recently, you've done some stuff with Gibson and Iguana. How do you go into the studio with another person and keep the purity of your artistic vision undiluted? How do you make sure that the idea you have makes it through when you are working with someone else, or do you get some sort of joy out of that?
It can either be a total joy or a complete nightmare. You know, the songs that I've done with other people, I've still done a large amount of the work, so I feel like that comes through in their sound, but finding the right partner is really tough, because you may both be able to make good music on your own, but just because you sit down in a room together, I mean, especially being put on the spot. I worked with Chromatone in the studio, and for a while I was incredibly intimidated and I couldn't do shit in front of him. And I think that broke down a lot of barriers for me, just being in the room with your musical hero and having to perform, getting over the uncertainty. But I much prefer to work by myself. I've always felt that. I like working in my own studio. I don't like just using any speakers. I'm very, like, particular. My setup now, my studio's taken so many different forms, and now I pretty much just have a computer, an audio interface, some really nice speakers, And, you know, I'm happy with that. I've worked with some people where I just, nothing happened, you know, and it actually became really frustrating to even try. And I've worked with some people that it just completely flows. And I've made a lot of music with Ross, who is random, who I made three of the songs on Subtropic with. I made a Psytrance with him before. So we found a good balance, he and I. Gibson, my friend Tyler Gibson, who I did Sonic Bloom with, and we've been making several tunes together. That one, you know, I like it. I feel like it's a little schizophrenic, but I think we're both pushing ourselves to make interesting music that's not always perfectly dance floor friendly, but I'd like to challenge people's, you know, I want to make music for the head, the heart, and the booty. So I'm trying to make very cerebral music, but I'm learning. Coming from a psytrance background, I am learning how to make like a breakbeat form of drums dancey. Because I feel like sometimes I'm still learning how to, you know, make groovy music because I was never using swing and all that stuff. So I guess I feel like I'm getting less mechanical. But Tyler and I'm thinking we're probably going to just do a project together, or he's just going to join my Bird of Prey project because we've found, I feel like he's kind of like my musical soulmate where I wouldn't let just anybody sit down and work on one of my projects. And I feel like I can just give it over to him and he can finish it and it'll sound exactly the way I would have wanted it, or, you know, similar, or it pushes me in new directions. And I feel like he's really challenging me to get better, you know, and he doesn't even have any releases at this point. He's been very underground, but he's a close friend of mine. And I think he and I have a future together as far as what we're going to do, because I feel like we can make better music together than I can on my own and he can on his own. And I'm really more interested in making the coolest music I possibly can, whether I have a friend or not. And at this point, I get lonely in the studio, and I am looking for that kind of camaraderie, and that's the closest I've found.
Sonic Bloom from Bird of Prey and Gibson. So what's next? Are you planning on hitting the studio again, or are you continuing to play shows? What's on the horizon for Bird of Prey?
I'm playing more shows. I would love to be on the radar for a lot of the festivals this upcoming year. It's kind of broken my heart to watch some of them go by, but I think it's just a lack of exposure and people knowing of me. So I think that's coming around, and I'm working with an agent now, so I'd like to see that happen. But I don't know. I only play my own music. I've got a couple songs from friends or collaborations that I've done, but I only play my own music generally as Bird of Prey. I feel like it's hard for me to mix my music with other people's because I've just, the progressive nature of the songs and whatever, I like it when if I play a set and people think enjoy it, then I know that they enjoy what I'm doing and not other people's music. You know, I think a lot of people get booked, you know, and they're DJing half of other people's music. I feel like it's more honest of me to go out as Bird of Prey. I make my music and I'm playing all my own music. That way, whether people like it or not, at least I'm honest about it. It also puts a lot of pressure on me because, like I said before, after I've worked on music for so long, I get sick of it and I want what's next for me. And playing only my own music, I have a certain amount of variations. I can piece all of my songs together and I have enough material for about an hour and a half to 2 hours set. But if I'm doing that, I'm playing just about everything I've made over the last year and a half. So I think I definitely enjoy playing shows, but I'm kind of feeling like I want to be specific about which shows I'm playing and still allow myself enough time to be at home to make new music so that I can keep it interesting for myself and other people.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with it. Torin, good night. Thanks so much for being on the Uns podcast.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Uns podcast. Thanks go to my guest, Torin Goodnight. Stay tuned to theUns.com for Bird of Prey dates and releases. If you love theUns.com and the Uns podcast, show it. Nominate us for an International Dance Music Award by going to wintermusicconference.com and clicking on the IDMA link. Fill out the top section and then vote for the Unts and the Unts podcast in sections 26 and 27. The polls close this Thursday. Next time on the Unts podcast, a bonus episode for your holiday season featuring DJ Stump and Ski Tones. Coming up next week, Swedish house phenom Avicii will be featured on the program. Remember to visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the Unts podcast, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunts.com. Catch you next week.